Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
World famous Bill Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Bud?
Yeah, just saying, people are... But it's too bad people don't have no... Or, I mean, some people don't have no backstage pass.
How do you know they don't have a backstage pass?
Because, well, I mean, just some people.
Why? Because of what I was talking about?
Yeah, man, you're...
You were really on fire. I don't know whether it was good or bad, but you are...
Yeah, you're definitely... Yeah, man, yeah, sometimes you act pissed off, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we were talking about... You know, there's a lot of behind the scenes that happens, and we talk about that. I don't want to get into it, you see, because then people are angry at me because, well, why don't you talk about it on the air? Because I can't talk about it on the air. I can talk about it during our pre-show, which we do have at 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern, and it is on our videocast, Phil TV in HD, and a bunch of other stuff. But so what? You think I was out of line?
Well, I don't think you are out of line. I don't think you're out of line. I think you are pointed.
Right.
I think that you were,
Come on.
Will you just...
Bud, shut up, okay?
Yes, I think that you were.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm carefully parsing my words, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I know, but sooner or later you gotta talk, don't you?
I am talking. God almighty... Do I have to start thinking about what I'm going to do to the two of these to shut them up this early? I'm asking you, Phil.
No, you do not. Guys, let her talk.
Hey.
As I was going to say, I think that you were very pointed. I think you were very, very sharp. I think some of your criticism might have been harsh. But at the same time, I think that you were honest.
Yeah, I think, too.
What? Why is he allowed to introduce the sort of the human equivalent of drool into what, you know?
All right, Bud, just let people finish a thought and then you can jump in.
I was agreeing with her.
Yes, I know you're agreeing with me, but your agreement does nothing more than befoul what I'm saying. You see?
No.
What I'm saying is I'll say something and then you say, okay. You do something... And it sounds, it's nothing more really, Bud, and God, you know, I do respect you, but it's nothing really more than spit up. You're not saying anything, you're spitting something up.
Well, I think that's devaluing. I think you should give him credit. They have an opinion.
I agree with you guys, but I also agree with Margaret. Let her finish what she's saying. Do you understand that we waste a lot of time at the beginning of every show giving you guys basic courtesy lessons, because you're butting in here, you're butting in there.
Yeah, I did say I agree that we're being able to say it.
Yeah, but I...
Well, Phil, deal with them.
He's making a point, though, Margaret.
Oh, now I'm... Daddy's going to lecture. Here we go.
No, Daddy's not lecturing. He's just... The point he is making is the following thing. If you can't abide someone simply saying, I agree with you, Margaret, then what's the point?
It isn't that he's butting in. I'm saying something that I think is well thought out. I am a well-spoken person. I think it has a certain rhythm and musicality to what I'm saying. And as I say it, then he comes in and you hear... And Frank is the one that brought up the spit-up analogy. He said it sounds... like what that tastes like. I don't quite... I wish I could tell...
What do you mean it sounds like what that tastes like?
You know when people say I can taste throw up? When I talk and then Bud talks. It's the speech equivalent of the... I don't...
Yeah, let's... Okay.
Yes, he's saying that what I'm saying is throw up. That's what you're saying.
Well, essentially, yes.
Well, that's a little harsh, you know. Let him have his, you know, as the Desiderata said, that great poem.
Yes, which Les Crane recorded. It became a top 40 hit, yes.
All right, fine. It said, even the dull and the ignorant, they too have their story.
Who's that?
Never mind.
Well, what does that mean?
what it means is that in life, everybody has a lesson to teach, and we can learn from the dull and the ignorant, even as much as we can from the people that we think are wise. You know, I mean, that's a nice line from that Desiderata. This is a thing, I don't know if you guys ever heard it, and I don't know what it is. And maybe now you know what it is, but back in when I was in high school, it actually became a top 40 or top 30 hit record on the rock and roll station we'd listen to, you know. Because back in those days, CHR, if you listened to Kiss in L.A., if you listened to Z100 in New York, if you listened to, you know, Y100 in Miami, any of the big top 40 stations, what we used to call top 40, they're called Contemporary Hits Radio now. That's what we heard. That's what we would listen to. And anything that made it into the top 30 would make it onto the radio. And there was a guy by the name of Les Crane, who had been a radio announcer. He'd been a talk show host, I think.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Frank said he thought he'd heard him doing one of the talk shows. Yeah.
All right. But Les Crane also had a late night show that they tried to go up against Johnny Carson. There, it's very interesting. There's two periods that I distinctly remember where they tried to knock Johnny Carson off the pedestal on the late night thing. Two distinct periods that I remember. The first was in the late 1960s. Carson had just taken over The Tonight Show and was a smash hit right out of the gate. And by the late 60s, CBS and ABC tried to take him down, and they did so respectively with Merv Griffin on CBS and Joey Bishop on ABC.
Joey? You're kidding. Joey Bishop of...
Who's Joey Bishop?
Joey Bishop was a very famous comic and was part of the Rat Pack and was one of the guys that hung with Sinatra and Dean Martin, was an actor and a comic, and had his own TV show. I think he had a sitcom, The Joey Bishop Show, for a while. But they tried it with Joey Bishop, and his announcer, by the way, his sidekick, his Ed McMahon, was Regis Philbin.
Oh, now I remember, yes.
Yeah. And then... replacing Joey Bishop for a while was Les Crane. Well, that didn't work. And then the second era of trying to knock Johnny Carson off was in the early 90s when they had Pat Sajak and they brought on Rick Dees and then we had Fox with Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall had a very popular show, but it didn't quite, you know. But anyway, Les Crane recorded this Desiderata, and it's a poem. And it was, and his voice is so beautiful, and the way he read it, and it's all about, you know, how to go through life. You know.
What do you mean, how to go through life? You talk about a poem?
A poem, yeah, yeah. Seriously, a poem. I guess it was an early example of, well, I don't want to call it hip-hop, but it was a spoken word recitation with music behind it, and...
You mean The Americans?
The what?
The Americans, the one that was done by the Canadian.
No, not The Americans. I know that one. No.
I don't know. What is it called?
The Desiderata. Look it up. And it has these beautiful lines. And one of the lines in it was, even the dull and the ignorant, they too have their story. That's all I wanted to say. All right. It's time now to hear from the dull and the ignorant. I'm kidding. It's time now to hear from...
No, man, are you kidding me? They're the sponsors.
I'm not talking about our sponsors. Of course, we appreciate and love more than you'll ever know. The Dull and the Ignorant was a comment about Jeff Dowder, which I will defer. And the reason why we're going to hear from Jeff Dowder on the show tonight is because the supersonic space jump has been aborted. Felix Baumgartner, who was going to jump out of a craft of some kind at the edge of space, has been aborted. He was going to dive from the edge of space. Felix Baumgartner attempted to make history by being the first human to attempt a supersonic space jump. Unfortunately, the Austrian's attempt was aborted due to winds. According to an October 9th report from Space Travel, which is a website that they refer to, if the weather cooperates, Felix Baumgartner may attempt his record-breaking supersonic space jump later this week. It all depends on Mother Nature, though. Unfortunately, Wednesday is not an option, but Thursday could end up being the day. The jump was supposed to take place at 120,000 feet above New Mexico. Unfortunately, the winds were too strong.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. He is going to jump from 120,000 feet?
God, you're kidding me!
No, exactly, yeah.
And what is the purpose of this?
Well, nobody's ever done it. Like, you know...
Well, no, what do you mean nobody's ever done it? Look, Robert, no one's ever eaten a skill saw while it's plugged in and turned on. You realize that?
Don't they talk like that?
What do you mean by that?
Well, no one's ever done that.
This isn't eating a skill saw while it's plugged in and turned on. This is the extension of something that man already does. Man jumps from high places using all kinds of apparatus, various tools and skills to help us survive those jumps. That's the whole point of these things, to do these things and survive. See?
Well, what is it? Who's it going to benefit? Are we going to use this in the military?
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe it'll teach pilots who fly at ever higher altitudes how to survive being ejected from an aircraft or a spacecraft, for that matter, if something goes wrong. Maybe this is the beginning of learning to survive some kind of a high altitude jump. What about spacecraft that are launched and fail at that altitude? You know.
Yeah, the people on the Challenger and everything, they'd have been able to do it.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, man.
Why not?
Well, because the Challenger was, you know, as they said, it was a catastrophic failure. All right, let's take a break.
Well, you can say that again, a catastrophic failure. There's no way they're going to jump out of something like that.
No one's saying the Challenger. I'm just saying. These are things that we become interested in these things, and then we think, hey, this applies to this, or this applies to that. We find areas where suddenly all of this becomes applicable, and we further our investigation. I think it's very exciting. We'll talk more about it with Jeff Dowd, and we come back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Jump from 100...
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jeff Dowder on the line with us from Caltech in Pasadena, California. Jeff is a part-time professor of mechanical physics. How are you tonight, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Phil, and how's everybody out there?
Good, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hello.
Hi, Ms. Gray, right?
Yes, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. Are you a doctor?
No, ma'am. I'm just a professor of mechanical physics, which is a discipline that is pretty specific to me and what, you know, I don't really want to get into it because it's...
No, we're not here to talk about that, but we are here to talk about this space jump, Jeff. Attempted, or that was going to be attempted, and they called it off by Felix Baumgartner. Do you know who, first of all, do you know who this guy is?
Well, yeah, Felix Baumgartner is a sky driver. He's a sky diver from Austria. He's also a base jumper.
What's a base jumper?
Well, base jumper is somebody who jumps from elevated areas like plateaus or from mountaintops or things that are on the earth but are not in an aircraft, you know, are not flying, you know, which is obviously a mountain's not flying, so I probably don't have to qualify it that way, but just want to be sure that people know that it's not flying, you know, through the air when you're
So they're jumping off of topographical points, earthbound points.
Yeah, that's correct. And you do see a lot of base jumpers using a variety of apparatus, a variety of jumping equipment. There are different kinds of chutes and different kinds of jumping suits too. There's a lot of them call a flying squirrel, you know, like a squirrel costume, a flying squirrel costume. And
What is a flying squirrel costume?
Well, yeah, this is a suit that looks, when the arms and the legs are extended, the base jumper looks very much like a squirrel on the go, you know, or not a squirrel on the go, but you know,
like a flying squirrel.
Yeah, I know, like a squirrel. But I'm very loath to use the term flying squirrel because you immediately get giggles and snickers and stuff. People are saying, you know, what are you like, Rocky and all that, you know?
Yeah.
So what I try to say is it's a squirrel. It's a squirrel in motion. you know?
Well, it seems to me that's almost the same kind of a silly term, you know?
No, I think it's descriptive, too.
That's more descriptive to you than flying squirrel?
Yeah, because if he said flying squirrel, I'd think about Rocky.
Okay, so we don't need to belabor that too much.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that you do see those kinds of suits. And Felix Baumgartner is an Austrian, guy that does squirrel on the move, and or not squirrel on the move, but he does a base jump, and he also does the skydiving.
So let's talk here, Professor, about this supersonic space jump. It has been aborted, and it has been aborted because of winds. And let me just get to the story here. I was reading it just before the break. If weather cooperates, Felix Baumgartner may attempt his record-breaking supersonic space jump. It all depends on Mother Nature, though. Unfortunately, Wednesday's not an option, but Thursday could end up being the day.
Yeah, they're hopeful that they will have winds that cooperate, because you can well imagine if you are jumping from any altitude, it doesn't matter really what the high winds are going to be hazardous, because you're prone to being not only blown off course, which is the first consideration or most obvious consideration, but also damage to equipment. All you have to do is talk to any skydiver that has jumped in particularly at a particularly high velocity or in a high velocity wind, and you can very easily lose vital pieces of equipment, gloves, boots, whatever, and that could certainly endanger you. So that's that. You know, that's consideration. But the other thing about this jump is, I think it's a little kind of cockeyed. It's not. I don't think he's really taking into consideration a couple of things. First of all, he's not really jumping from space. He's jumping from 120,000 feet. That is technically still stratosphere. And
What is the significance of that?
Well, the significance is that's not exactly an honest statement to the public by, you know, Mr. Baumgartner, because of the fact that in outer space, first of all, if he's jumping from outer space, obviously you're not jumping. If you're in outer space, you're weightless. So he's not jumping from outer space. Okay? Number two.
Yeah, well, no, we understand that, Mr. Doubter, but what I'm asking you is this. I know he's not jumping from, quote-unquote, outer space, but my understanding was that he was jumping from somewhere near the edge of space. That is the end of the Earth's atmosphere, Phil?
Yeah, that I think that's a fair way of saying it.
What does that mean about Earth's atmosphere?
What I'm saying is that...
Here, hold on, Bud. What we're talking about...
No, if I could, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
The Earth has atmosphere, okay? The Earth has atmosphere. Yeah, yes, okay, the Earth has atmosphere. But there is a point where that atmosphere runs out, and we are on the edge of space. Okay, well, the thinnest part of that is the ionosphere, and then come space.
Well, is the ionosphere space?
The ionosphere is technically not space, but it is the highest, thinnest level of the Earth atmosphere before you're in full space mode. But he's not jumping from the ionosphere. He's jumping from the high stratosphere.
And all right, so the high stratosphere is what?
Well, I mean, there's still, for instance, in a high stratosphere, you still have some cloud formation. There is thin, albeit very thin, levels of oxygen. There is, in point of fact, atmosphere.
Well, does it look like space? Is the sky darker?
Well, if you were to look straight up, you would see the edges of what we call space. That is the lack of particle, an atmospheric particle, which therefore the sun cannot reflect off of, and so therefore you do get the darkness of space because there is no matter, you know. But I used to say it doesn't matter if there's no matter, you know, as some I say in my class, you know. And
pretty, you know, like, because they're not the matter.
You want to talk about, like, no matter, not like antimatter.
No, no, man, I'm not talking about antimatter. I'm talking about, what's that?
That's music. Go ahead.
I'm not talking about antimatter. I'm talking about matter. And
all right, let's get back to Professor Doubter here in a moment as he talks about Felix Baumgartner's aborted supersonic space jump. I think it's fascinating, don't you?
I do think it's that. I still don't know the purpose of this, and I still want to find out what he means by space and the what he called squirrel or squirrel in motion.
Squirrel in motion? Never mind about that, believe me.
No, I'm not going to mind.
Phil
what?
Hendry.
I'm going to mind about the squirrel. Oh, never mind.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jeff, go ahead. We're looking at a videotape of a jump that Felix Baumgartner did in July, right, Professor Doubter?
Yeah, this is Felix Baumgartner. You're looking here. He's got the standard swing chute, and this is him coming down after a jump that he did in July, and that was the 18 mile, what they call an 18 mile jump, and that was in July. Now, the one he's proposing now, 18 miles above the planet Earth, is a long way up, I can assure you. I'm trying to just doing some rough mathematics. It's about 96,000 feet above the planet of Earth, the one that. Obviously, the one, you know, that we're living on now is, you know.
Professor, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I still would love to address this topic of whether he's in outer space. Secondly, you have made this point about a squirrel in motion, and am I?
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Right, that's not really no big deal. I mean, this is something that I, you know.
And one other thing, well, I don't. You're saying that's no big deal. Your grammar is very unusual for a professor.
Yeah, because that's just the way he talks.
And what are you? Are you his press agent? I don't...
All right, hold on. Jeff, you're a rather non-traditional professor, wouldn't you say?
My world is mechanics, physics. My world is motion. My world is... The insurmountable obstacle versus the irrepressible force, and that's my world. That's where I'm at. You know, this is where I'm at. You know, so if I don't talk with the best English, please I apologize. But my world, you know, where I'm at is more about these matters we're discussing here.
Okay, I understand. All right, so let's get back to this space jump. Felix Baumgartner, he's a 43-year-old Austrian skydiver. He did not jump today, but you're saying it's not a very honest jump anyway, that he has to get much higher.
Yeah, if he's going to do a space jump, and I mean he's really going to do a space jump, then he has to contemplate really what we are preparing, and I'm not a part of this, but I am assisting in preparations for Toby Bowe and his team.
Now, Toby Bowe, is this guy a friend of yours?
Well, yeah, but I mean, what I would ask you to do, Mr. Hendry, is give it a little bit more of a respectful way of saying it.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, is this guy a friend of yours? It makes it sound like we just came up with the idea while we were...
Well, it does sound... May I finish that sentence?
Which sentence?
Well, it does sound like you came up with the idea while you were, forgive me, blasting up.
Well, I mean, no, we didn't come up with the idea while we were blasting up. I mean, it's not like two guys are sitting fat, smoking a fat, you know, thumb-size joint. I mean, the space jump is something people have been wanting to do for hundreds of years. You know,
for hundreds of years.
Yes, sir. I mean, it sounds unusual.
I would think that the space jump would be something that dates at least from the age of flight and not before.
Well, no. I mean, if you think about it, people have wanted to be up in the air flying, or if they can't fly, jumping out. Well, yeah, I mean, they do want to fly. They don't want to, die, but people wanted to jump. Like the first mountain that someone ever saw, they wanted to go on top.
Yeah, they want to go on top and jump off it.
Well, how do you know that they wanted to go on top of it and jump off of it? What I am trying...
Now, I think it's only logical to assume that if you're a human and you look at a big, high mountain and you go, man, I'd like to go the way up top, and then you finally go way up top and you stand there and you look on a view, you probably want to say, oh, yeah, man, I'd like to jump off this mountain right now, but I can't do it because guess what? Then I'm going to die, and what would that do? So, you know... So I think that
Well, the supersonic, let's just forget about how long man wants to. Go ahead and continue your thought. I think we're getting sidetracked here.
Yeah, so anyway, Toby Bow and his crew, yeah, he's a friend of mine. Yeah, we went to high school together. And yes, Ms. Gray, to your point, yeah, we, as young people, and I don't want to comment no more, we smoked weed and or... What have you? I mean, I'm not denying none of that, but it's got nothing to do with what we're saying.
Exactly. Let's move past that. You know.
Well, I'm only curious because it doesn't sound like it's very well thought out.
Why? Because we're a couple of heads that live in Mid Canyon.
I have no idea where you live.
All right. Well, I mean, that's what it is. We're a couple of heads that live in Mid Canyon.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about Mr. Bowes.
Well, it is a captain. I should have said...
Captain Bo? What branch of the service?
I didn't know that we were going to get into a lot of this different...
But he's a captain, so is he in the Navy? Is he in the Air Force?
He is not in the service, Mr. Henry. We refer to him respectfully as Captain Bo.
He's not in the service, but you just call him Captain Bo.
Yes, ma'am. And I think in this case, in this sense, it is a far more appropriate... calling him Captain, then Captain Kangaroo got called Captain, and I'm not comparing what Toby Bow done.
All right, I understand. It's
See, this is why I asked about whether you two were sitting under a tree one day at school with your backpacks on, smoking, as the kids call it, a fatty.
No, ma'am, we were not.
All right. But that's why I said what I said.
All right, let's move on. I don't care to know about any of this other stuff. What happened? There is Professor Doubter. What I want to find out is Felix Baumgartner is planning on jumping on Thursday, I believe. They say the winds will be much more manageable, or at least they will be able to manage in these winds. Now, you say this is not an honest jump. Tell me specifically, he's not jumping from space? What is he not doing?
He's not jumping from space. Yeah, he's not jumping from space. He's not jumping from space. And that's, I've tried to say it over and over. I keep trying to tell people, but they won't listen. You got to jump from space if it's going to be a space jump. I mean, that's pretty preliminary. You know, sort of.
Yeah, that's the basic.
Sounds like a basic thing you got to do if you're going to do a space jump.
Yeah. You got to do... Yeah.
All right, so we know that they have to jump from space. Why is he not jumping from space? Where is he jumping from that makes it that he's not jumping from space?
He's jumping from an area that's not space. It's ionosphere. When Toby Bow does it, and we're planning on making our jump in late January or early February of 2013... And we're going to do it from an altitude of almost 200,000 feet. Now that is, you know for a fact, you're in outer space. You're not going to go up there going, wow, am I in space? Am I not? I don't know. Let's just roll the dice on this. You'll know for a fact. And when Captain Bo, or Mr. Bo, if you want to call him, I don't care. I call him Captain Bo out of respect for what he's going to do.
Yeah, but he's not a captain in any service. I want the audience to know that.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, yes, he is. He's a captain in the service of doing a space, you know, of the space jump. I mean...
He's a captain in the service of a squirrel in motion.
No, that's...
Okay, man, you can laugh all you want, man, but guess what? When we go up to do the space jump, guess who will... I was thinking about inviting you, you know?
Well, yeah, really?
Yeah, I was, but...
All right, can we... This is beginning to sound like it's a little half-baked.
What do you mean half-baked?
It sounds like you guys did come up with this. Margaret asked the question, like, you, did you come up with this while you were out back blasting up or smoking a fatty or whatever the hell it was you were doing? It doesn't sound like it's a bona fide operation or a mission or whatever you guys call it.
Mr. Henry, this is very real, and it's very real. He's going to go up in a hot air balloon in a pressurized capsule to 200,000 feet. He'll step out of that at 200,000 feet and plummet down to the Earth, just shy of being in space. And
will he be, what kind of a spacesuit, or not a spacesuit, what kind of a pressurized suit will he wear?
Well, I mean, we are thinking about the Squirrel in Motion, and I never did call it that.
What is it? Is that the one that is shaped like the flying squirrel?
Yeah, but I told you not to say that, because now people are thinking about the... God.
Yeah, I've been now thinking about Bullwinkle.
I don't care about Bullwinkle. I want to know, is he wearing, though, the flying squirrel suit?
Yeah, he's wearing what we call, he's wearing the squirrel on the go, yeah.
Who cares if it's squirrel on the go or squirrel in motion? Who cares if it's flying squirrel? Who cares if they think about Rocky or Bullwinkle? The fact is, this guy, Toby Bo, Captain Bo, in January, according to you, is going to be jumping out of a hot air balloon pressurized capsule at close to 200,000 feet.
Well, it's going to be higher than what Baumgartner, the only thing about Baumgartner, as I like to say, only about Baumgartner, he's going to be a big bomb. He's going to bomb all right, because he's not going to be even anywhere near the outer space regions. And what we're going to do, yes, sir, we will.
Okay, is he going to be at 200,000 feet?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Is he going to be at 200,000 feet in what sense?
In the sense that he's jumping out of this capsule.
He's not jumping out of the cap? What do you mean?
The capsule he's jumping out of.
The capsule that he is going to jump from.
Yeah, okay.
Is he jumping at 200,000 feet?
What do you mean, is he jumping at 200,000 feet?
Isn't that what you just said?
I said that he's going to be on the edge of space.
Didn't you use the figure 200,000?
I did, yes.
Okay, is that the number, is that the elevation that he is going to be jumping from?
Who?
Took this...
Oh, my God.
What?
Toby Bo... Captain Bo.
Captain Bo is jumping where?
He's... Didn't you tell me that he is jumping?
Yeah, he's jumping. I mean, we're all jumping. It's getting down to the wire now.
I'm talking about you guys jumping out of a capsule.
Us guys?
Him, I mean. Him.
Yeah.
Okay, is he jumping at 200,000 feet?
I don't know. I mean, I sometimes they jump at above 200,000. I don't know. Are you asking, is it going to be exactly 200,000?
Is he going to? Yes, is it going to be jumping at exactly 200,000?
How can you tell?
How can you tell? Do you have an altimeter in that capsule?
It's not my altimeter.
Does he have an altimeter in that capsule?
Yes, sir, he does.
Okay, when he gets to 200,000 feet on that altimeter, okay?
Yes, sir.
Is he going to jump?
Is he going to jump if the altimeter says 200,000 or if we're actually at 200,000? That's all I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, boy.
Don't you understand what he's saying?
Hey, man, don't yell at me. I'm the guy that's being with Toby Bo or Cat. I'm going to be there, man. You're not going to be there because you're all laughing and everything like that.
Yeah, but we're saying is he going to jump 200,000 feet or isn't he?
Well, Mr. Henry's not being clear.
Yes, I am. I'm being completely clear.
If Mr. Henry, you're saying, is he going to jump at 200,000 feet? And you asked me if he's got an altimeter. Those are two different stories. That's a whole different... They don't even, I mean, one, yeah, it has to do with elevation. Another has to do with jumping. And, yeah, you are jumping, but one's an altimeter.
I'm asking you, he's looking at an altimeter waiting to get to 200,000 feet. Is that what he's doing?
Well, he's not looking at it.
Is somebody on his crew, is someone on his team, are you looking at the altimeter?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's a yes.
Well, congratulations. Hey.
Don't be so sarcastic.
Shut up.
Don't tell me.
All right, hold on. So now you're looking at the altimeter. It's 200,000 feet. When he sees that, does he open the door and step out?
You don't just open the door and step out, man. It's not like you're committing suicide. First, you got to strap on your...
Okay, just I got to take a break.
Well, you have far more patience than me.
You understand? I know what he's saying. You can't know If you're at 200,000 feet, how do you know you're 200,000 feet just because the altimeter says so? It may be broken.
Yeah, what if it's broken?
Then I guess it's broken and you're not at 200,000 feet. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Jeff Dowder on the space jump, the aborted space jump.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Jumped out. That's what I was saying that time.
Well, you were talking, and we're back with Professor Jeff Dowder, from Professor of Mechanical Physics. You were talking about a jump that obviously was a malfunction, and someone died. You're telling me they think he died. Sounds to me like he died.
Yeah, well, they didn't find no evidence of it, is what I was trying to say to you. That was the jump that we talked about when Dave Buck and Jerry Gordonelli had been jumping up a Lake Elsinore and were attempting the early vertical stages of a space jump. Anyway, it was Jerry Gordonelli, it wasn't Dave Buck, it was Jerry Gordonelli who suggested that they ladder it up another 20,000 feet. So at that point, they did go to 70,000. You know, Baumgartner, he'd done 80,000. Now, Baumgartner is, I'm sure, a well-traveled skydiver, but he's not even. It sounds to me like he's just going to butcher this thing left and right because he just. I looked at some of his equipment, and I looked at him, and I don't see it, you know.
Well, what don't you see?
Well, it all looks really, you talk about thrown together. I mean, that to me, it looks thrown together. What we're going to do with Toby Bowe come January at the Flats, and...
Now, where are the Flats?
Well, it's an area of the lower California desert near the Arizona border. It's a very... spacious and wide open, you know, area. But this guy Baumgartner, who is from Austria, he doesn't even know, man, because he comes from a country that is very mountainous. There's not a lot of places to jump, and so he's been working mostly in the States. And the width and the light and the space of the American desert is just going to blow. It'll put the zap on his head. You know,
what does that mean?
What do you mean, put the zap on his head? What? Yes, what does that mean?
What?
What do you mean, put the zap on his head?
I mean, he's going to be up there looking down and going, there's too much light, too much space. I come from a country where there's mountains.
Yeah, and he'll just put the zap on him.
Put the zap on him.
Yeah, he will become disoriented, in other words.
All right, let's get to the... you were saying that you were out at Lake Elsinore and you thought you'd ladder it up to 70,000 feet. We're talking about when Joe Gordonelli...
Yeah, Joe Gordonelli went up to 70,000 feet, all right? And he did what we call a step-off. That's what you were referring to. And there is a step-off. That's when you just, in a very relaxed way, you don't make a big thing of it because psychologically you want to be... You want your psychology to be, or your mindset to be... calm so that they can register accurate blood pressure. So you're talking to people, you might be having some soup or chewing some gum or looking at a magazine, and then you just wave and you walk out the door into open space and fall. And excuse me. And
now what is that supposed to do?
Well, I just said it.
You said I'm you said that the man needs to have his blood pressure.
Yeah, his blood pressure has to be registered normal. So when you do a step off, you step out of the capsule like it's no big deal, like you're not setting some altitude record and there aren't a million people watching you on the ground. You're chewing gum, you know.
You said you're looking at a magazine?
Yeah. I mean, when Joe Gordonelli did 50,000 feet, I shouldn't say, but he had a Playboy. And the reason why he had Playboy is just he was looking at a Playboy, And he looked up, looked at his watch, and put the magazine down and said, I'm going out for a smoke, and stepped out. All of that is very carefully strategized so that your body temperature and your body fluids and your, and your...
All right, so anyway, what happened to Joe Gordinelli?
That sounds like the most asinine story I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I'm sorry it doesn't, you know, it doesn't comport with your view of reality, ma'am. But that's what happened.
So what happened to Gordinelli?
What?
What happened to this guy, Joe Gordinelli?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. It was Captain Gordinelli.
Okay, Captain. Was he also a captain of space jumping, or was he a captain in the military?
Well, I don't think being disrespectful...
Well, this is asinine. Was he a cap? You said he was a captain like Captain Kangaroo.
No, I didn't say he was a captain like Captain Kangaroo. I said if Captain Kangaroo was a captain, then you better believe that Joe Gordinelli and Toby Bo are captains, because they're captains of something that's a captain, okay? The guy's jumping on down, well.
All right, he's a captain.
Thank you.
Okay, so what happened?
All right, we got to 70,000 feet. He looked at his watch. He said, I'm going for a smoke. He stepped out, but the chute malfunctioned. Now, the reason why we're not sure whether he died or whether he is, you know, in some other state is because they only found his suit and his helmet. In fact, they found everything that he had on, but they didn't find him.
Well, like I said to you at the time, Jeff, maybe he just disintegrated. The speed was so great.
Well, I mean, there wasn't even there'd be a puddle or something.
Are you saying there was no absolutely no evidence of a man?
There was no evidence of a man being that fell out of a space.